touchdown machine for the Houston Cougars.
Sasser again, just kind of taking over right now.
That's NBA stuff right there. He is a baller.
Stick it in your pipe and smoke it, baby.
Yes! Welcome to Scott Holman Podcast. Back in our Sunday night react spot, talking a more convincing Houston Cougar football win than I think we have seen in a good long while in these parts. The Cougs had a very successful, probable final trip to Annapolis to play the Navy midshipmen. We're talking about it here tonight. It's not just the Royal We this time. I'm joined by a co-host, joined by a friend, but it's not the usual co-host and friend. I will say up front to avoid, I'm sure the throngs of people that listen to this show wondering why Dustin has been on the last two episodes. Dustin and I's schedules just have not lined up at all between Dustin getting sick last week and me going out to Texas this week to see my wonderful significant other's family. So part of being a co-host with me, with Dustin, this show, I think, is having a rapport that only comes from a decade and some change. Oh, it's been a decade and some change, buddy. A decade and some change of talking about the Cougars, but also feeling confident that you know a bit about it, adding something to the show. And it's somebody that probably at least a few of you are aware of. You heard him this summer on our F1 podcast. If you want to go back and listen to an incredibly dated summary of the 2022 Formula One season, as well as a decent primer on the sport, go listen to that. But I'm joined tonight, with no further ado, by my good friend and co-host, at least for tonight, Bobby. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, buddy. It's been a long time since I remember taking that first text from you and Dustin going, hey man, we're thinking about making this podcast. And I've been trying to be a guest host for a while. I got the F1 guest host, but looks like I got called in from the bullpen, so pretty excited for that.
Pulled out my arm, started tapping my left arm.
Yeah,
we're going with the specialist here. Excited to talk Cougs with you, man. Excited to talk about, I think, what's probably the win we feel most positively about from the current season. Though many high points, it was nice to have an undramatic win, have a win where I could step away from the TV in the final 2 to 3 minutes of game action, not feel like I missed something incredibly painful or critical. So we're going to get to that, obviously, here at the top. Got to mention, we are proud members of the 1012 Network here, talking all things Big 12 over there. Subscribe to the 1012 Podcast wherever you get podcasts. Follow them on Twitter, at TEN12 Network. Already start getting yourself up on what's going to be life in our future conference here in just a little under a year. And of course, we are brought to you tonight by the good folks at the good brand, Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code here if you haven't done so already, Holman12, that's HOLMAN12. Get 15% off your first order. Look just fantastic doing so. They have a great Cougar collection, recently refreshed this year, as well as a good original collection to build on. So that's Holman12, Home Field Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. The Cougars, hundreds of other schools. You're going to look good and appreciate the 15% off that you get just by listening to this here podcast. But what you're probably here to listen to tonight is hear us talk about a good, convincing, better four-quarter effort than I think we've seen the entire season, kind of win by the Houston Cougars in Annapolis, beating the Navy midshipmen 38-20, and a 38-20 final that I think at least somewhat flatters the home team here. But talk real quick here at the top, as we usually do in these recap shows, how the game was won for the Cougars. And I'm excited that I didn't spend about 30 minutes of my note-taking time describing how it was won or lost, because it didn't really have a super crazy finish. Didn't really have the kind of game where, you know, I'm not going to say it wasn't in doubt. I mean, about middle of this game, I mean, this was a one touchdown game, and it certainly looked like the home team was starting to grab at momentum. But I think very impressively, the Cougars never really let the home team get back in it after that point, and got off to a good enough start that it gave them some cushion, gave them some ability to withstand maybe the odd mistake or two this team has in them. But anyway, to sum it up real quick, I thought real statement at the beginning. The Cougars had two different scoring drives at the top, really moved the ball with ease on the Navy midshipman, had a good chance to actually go up 21-0 early second quarter. Brandon Campbell on a pretty long run ultimately fumbled it, was ruled a fumble into the end zone. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn saying it was a fumble in the end zone. That was a call, it's at least somewhat controversial among Cougar fandom, but that was actually a pretty big swing there. It went from being a potential 21-0 Cougar lead to Navy very quickly going down the field, scoring on the Cougars, making earlier U of H defensive efforts look pretty silly. And it was, I think, largely on a 52-yard completion by Ty Lavitai. Cougars just bit on a play action. That's just going to happen against Navy sometimes. But I thought really importantly, after Navy cut to 14-7, Cougs immediately respond. Real nice drive, possessed the ball really well. Really a couple different times, Navy just did not account for the Cougars' second tight end, Matt Burns, and culminated a big Matt Burns reception, ultimately led to a few plays later, a 3-yard touchdown pass from Toon to Matt Burns. Cougs going to the halftime up 21-7. But Navy, after the Cougars just really struggled to kind of get going offensively in the third quarter, and just strip sack on Clayton Toon. Clayton Toon just really didn't see the Navy rushing end coming. Gianni Woodson-Brooks scoops it up, 21-14 midshipman, and really stadium comes alive at that point more than it has at any previous point in the game. Mids are only down a score despite U of H, I'd say, pretty badly outplaying him for the first two quarters and some change. And you definitely let the thoughts kind of get in your head as a Cougar fan that, oh no, is this, you know, after this really convincing first half, are we just going to watch this team find another just wild and terrible way to piss this game away? And that just didn't happen. The Cougars, like they did when Navy cut to 14-7 early, immediately got the ball back. Ultimately didn't result in a touchdown, but Cougars got a chip shot field goal from Kyle Ramsey. Possessed the ball, went back up two scores, and I think maybe quieted any concern you had as a Cougar fan that, oh no, they've just kind of, you know, lost their momentum on offense and just won't be able to catch it back up. Cougs got an interception on the next Navy possession. Ty Lavitai threw one behind his guy. Really nice play by Art Green, who returned it deep into Navy territory. Cougs, five plays later, get a Samuel Brown touchdown, 3-score lead, and pretty much was all she wrote from there, though the Cougars got an insurance touchdown in the fourth quarter, also from Toon to Samuel Brown, who I think we'll get to, had a nice game and did a good job taking pressure off Tank Dell, certainly. In the red zone there, Navy gets another touchdown later. Pretty garbage time touchdown there, and you have your 18-point, very undramatic, I think, much-needed Cougar victory. Bobby, what is your biggest takeaway from this game? Offense, defense, big picture, little picture. What is the first thing you're thinking about after this one?
So my first thought is actually a little bit different from yours at the halftime, is this was our first actually dominant performance, right? We dominated from the start, from the jump. We jumped out to an early lead. I mean, I know win probability on ESPN isn't the end-all be-all, but after we scored that first touchdown, our lowest we got was at 81%. And even at the start of the second half when we had the fumble and we had, you know, they came down, they scored pretty quick and they cut it to 7, I at no point was concerned that we were going to drop this game at all. I had zero concern at any point. And that's just something we haven't had this year. You know what I mean? Like at no point this season have I felt comfortable with the lead except for this game. And that's a huge takeaway. And that's something that we kind of expected this team to do for a lot of this season. Once we got past UTSA and probably the Texas Tech game, looking at the schedule before the season, we would have thought that we would have experienced this a lot more than we probably have. And so watching this team come out and perform for almost four quarters is something we haven't seen. And that's my biggest takeaway, is we look like a complete team, and a team that could, with some help, obviously, really help with the or have a chance to win the conference title.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if I had seen this effort in like week two, I think it would have been pretty confident. Okay, we're down a touchdown, but we're going to find a way to pull. So I think it's just the last several weeks of watching this team just not play the best football maybe shook my faith a bit. But yeah, it was really, I think I generally agree with you. I really do think that if you were really watching this game, if you really were seeing the game flow, like U of H never looked like a team that was nervous, never looked like a team that was on the verge of blowing this lead. You didn't see guys losing their cool even after the strip sack on Toon and, you know, Navy getting it within a score. Just it never felt like this was going to be anything other than a UH win. I think for me, the biggest takeaway is that for now, the second game in a row, you saw the Cougars being a more disciplined team at key times win the game. I mean, I think obviously not a four quarter disciplined effort against Memphis. I don't think any watching of that game would call it that, but you saw down the stretch, and now you saw in that fourth quarter the Cougars' discipline and Memphis's lack of discipline play a key role in a very, I think, difficult to do comeback. And for this one, I think it was a really good four-quarter discipline ever. I would say even though the teams had identical penalties for the game, I mean, two of those Cougar penalties were on that one really fateful drive where you had the sack fumble and the Navy defensive touchdown. And as bad as those penalties were, I don't think those necessarily contributed to. I think that was just Clayton Toon maybe lacking a bit of awareness. And I'm not trying to have my first thing I say about Clayton Toon, who was excellent, who threw five touchdowns and no picks, be shitting on Clayton Toon for awareness or something like that. I thought he was
excellent.
A plus, as many superlatives just about as you could say from a quarterback performance. But I don't think the penalties contributed there. And that's two of your four for the entire game. Whereas you saw Navy, a team that just thrives on being very mistake-free, very on schedule, not beating themselves in any way. You saw a couple drives, key penalties for them, really put them behind schedule. And you're just, when you're that kind of offense and you're not the best version, like if you're the Navy offense with Keenan Reynolds or Malcolm Perry, you might be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and, you know, turn that second and 15 into maybe third manageable with a big play. If you're this version of Navy offense, probably not so much. And so you saw that a couple key times. I think for the balance of this game, you saw the Cougs be the more disciplined team, which isn't to say it was perfect. Ball security was an issue. We'll certainly get to that. But I thought you saw how good this team could be if they play clean football, if you're not having holds at key times or inexplicable personal fouls or just the kinds of things that have hampered this team previously. And I thought it was really refreshing. I think I fired off like a jokey tweet about how, yeah, U of H is more disciplined than Navy. That's definitely how we expected this game to go. But it was notable. And coming off a game where I thought you saw a discipline play a really key role in U of H pulling the rabbit out of the hat against Memphis, it was encouraging. It was a sign of how good this team could be if they're not committing the most penalties and the most penalty yardage of anyone in Division I FBS. This can be, I think, a pretty good team. You just got to see a little bit more of this discipline on a week-in, week-out basis. I guess we should start with the offense, Yeah,
that sounds great to me.
What was your kind of first impression? What was the thing that really jumped out the most at you from this one?
So honestly, it was that we had 30 passes in a game we won by 18. I went back and I looked, and like, we haven't dominated a game like this. And this was probably the third or fourth most amount of passes that we've put up this season, right? And really, when you look at the play by play, we really only put up five passes in the fourth quarter. And so we did something that we haven't normally done this season. And that thing you've kind of been clamoring for, at least through our text messages, and I know occasionally on here, we need to set up some plays for Toon that make it easy for him, right? And so we had that in this game. We had those passes where Toon was picking up and the offense was picking up 15, 20 at a time. I mean, and it just really showed me this is what happens when you trust your senior quarterback, right? Like, going into the season, we had all this faith in Clayton Toon, and we're, you know, it's a 60-40 run-heavy offense, and we actually put the ball in Toon's hands, even though there were more rushes. We still won by 18, so we weren't airing it out late in this game, right? But yeah, that was my biggest takeaway, is that we actually aired the ball out and we started to pick up chunks, right? There weren't 4-yard pass by Clayton Toon. If you look at the play-by-play, it's not 4 yards by Clayton Toon. It's not 12, it's 18, 13, 22. 28. Like, we were picking up yards in bunches, and that's something we haven't done in any game this year. Now, could it be Navy's defense? Sure. But at the same time, the offense looked different this week than it has any other week, and I don't know if that's the off week or if that was noticing something in the Memphis game and we decided to come out and actually do it. But that was my big takeaway, is that we actually trusted our senior quarterback to make some good decisions. And when you give him a pocket to throw from, Clayton Toon's pretty dang good.
Yeah, and I think it's borne out as numbers. You know, obviously the five touchdowns, no picks, that's what jumps off the page at you, but just under 9 yards an attempt. I think, like you said, though, but you saw with the design, of the pass plays, you saw him have, you know, obviously you're trying to be vertical, and that's good, especially against an opponent like Navy, who I think Navy has a solid defense, but I also think Navy's going to always be an athleticism deficit against U of H. And that's why I think you see more years than not when these two teams have played, Navy's really struggled with the Cougar passing game. Even in 2019, when U of H wasn't especially good and Clayton Tune did throw four picks, I think he threw for almost 500 yards against him at TDCU in the regular season finale that year. They've just always struggled with the Cougar passing offense. And so you were seeing that, but they were also giving Clayton Tune, you know, checkdowns. They were giving him makeable throws. They were giving him, you know, stuff in the intermediate, but it wasn't just all deep balls or tunnel screens to Brandon Campbell or Stacey Sneed. There was a good mix of the intermediate, whereas, you know, they still try to take the top off of the Navy defense. And I think it was good also because something else I've clamored for on here, I think, is that, you know, I've kind of just said, hey, this offense just kind of needs to go more 2011 Houston, kind of needs to maybe just eschew what Dana Holgorsen wants to do in terms of run pass split. But I think you saw this game be kind of his ideal run pass split. And you still saw his offense be dynamic. You still saw it, you know, make big plays, but, you know, get tough yardage. And you know, I think my takeaway is, you know, just the offensive line playing the run game. I thought we could make stuff happen against Navy. I thought we could, you know, dominate them in the pass game for all the reasons that I kind of just laid out. I don't know if I really pictured this being a kind of game where the Cougars really were able to, you know, run the ball for good yards against Navy, to make big plays, to get tough yardage for Clayton Tune, not just improvising, but also I think a couple of really clever decisions by the offensive staff to call designed run really made it happen. I mean, I think only Air Force this year has broke 200 yards on Navy, and Air Force is an offense that more weeks than not is going to get at least 200 yards. That's not really a significant stat there. I didn't see the Cougars be able to do this against Navy's defensive front, because Navy has a good veteran defensive front. And for any of the flaws of this year's version of Navy midshipman football, they've been a good team against the run. And to do that with an offensive line that hasn't always looked the best, with two redshirt freshman running backs who are either, you know, in Brandon Campbell and Stacey Sneed's place playing their first Division I action period, or at least playing their first meaningful Division I action, you're still very young at that position. The Cougars were still to make as much as they made it happen. I think it's exciting. It's exciting. You saw the offensive line be able to give Clayton Tune as much of a clean pocket as they were able to. I mean, I think, you know, it's not really great analysis, but man, like, your offense looks a lot better when your quarterback isn't just about to get nailed every other snap, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, on that fumble, one of the things the commentators were saying, and as much as I don't like to compliment ESPN commentators, it really looked like Tune was back there and I hadn't been touched all day and no one's even come close to me. And he just kind of sat there and just kept waiting on his receivers to get open. And then, you know, you see that fateful offensive lineman running in a full sprint after a guy in a different color jersey. And you're just like, this isn't going to end well. But Tune just is standing there the whole time, knowing that he had all the time in the world. And that may have caused that fumble, really, when you think about it, is his pocket was so clean that he was just like, yeah, nothing's going to happen to me. And then something happened to him. But, you know, if I would have told you coming into this game that we were going to have a 100-yard rusher and we were going to rush for 180 and pass for 261, you'd have taken it 10 out of 10 times without even thinking about it. We absolutely dominated up front, and that's not something we've seen this year. And so I was really happy to see that as well.
Yeah, I think we kind of saw at the end against Memphis as we were, you know, the pass game kind of created that crazy comeback, but you could look back and be like, okay, well, Memphis was probably playing a lot more prevent than maybe they should have. But I mean, you saw it for four quarters now. You saw even on pass plays that weren't successful, Clayton Tune got a good pocket. And with the notable exception being the play that you just mentioned, the play we've mentioned a few times, the strip sack that Navy got for a touchdown to cut it to 21-14. And I think another exception being, I complained to you in real time about this, a play at the latter stages of the second quarter where Tune let 9 to 10 seconds run off on just a pass play where it just needed to just chuck it, you know, realize that just isn't happening quickly. But you accept those two things. I thought he was really poised. He really looked like a fifth-year senior back there. And I think,
absolutely.
Yeah, I gave some credence to, you know, I'm not going to say he's been perfect. I think there's been some, you know, ball security issues at times. There's been, you know, a decision or two that I'm sure he wants back. But I've always kind of believed that the issues of the prior five or six games, to me, was more design and execution around and in front of Clayton Tune than Clayton Tune, which isn't to say Clayton Tune doesn't bear some responsibility. He'd probably be the first to say himself he bears some responsibility for the offense not
absolutely
being itself, you know, the entirety of the first five or six games of the season. But I think you just saw how good he can be when he has a clean pocket, when he has a, you know, offense that's designed to get him, you know, I think makeable throws, a run game that'll take the pressure off him a bit so he's not having to throw it 65, 70 times a game. They can be really dang good. And I think, yeah, I think Navy, again, is not going to be one of the better teams we see, but I don't think they're that much worse than the average AAC defense. I might even go so far as to say they might be a hair better than the average AAC defense we see this year, and that you're able to do that away from home. And to see it for four quarters, I mean, I think that's got to just be confidence on top of confidence. You had, you know, going into the off week, you had that great finish against Memphis, the offense finally looking like maybe it was discovering something at the end of that one. And then to have after that a four quarter dominant performance where, again, except it's wild to say all this, I think we should just say it, to have three fumbles and you and I think not incorrectly being very, very positive about the offense. I guess let's talk about the three lost fumbles. I mean, yeah, Brandon Campbell, it's redshirt freshman kind of stuff, but no excuse to lose the ball there. As you know, I think that should have been six, or should have been the Cougars setting up deep in Navy territory instead of Navy getting the ball back.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. It's a conversation me and you have had multiple times. Those guys get scholarships too. Sometimes they make plays. Are you happy with three fumbles? No, obviously not. But we haven't had very slippery hands when it comes to fumbles this year. You get three in one game and you don't have a ton throughout the year, it kind of evens out. And really, that one was costly, but that one was more costly because the defense got burned a couple of times on back-to-back plays, the Campbell fumble. And the Tune fumble was costly as well. But, you know, those kind of things happen. And you have to put the trust in your defense that they're going to step up. And, you know, the defense didn't step up right after Campbell, but considering throughout most of this game, the defense had 7 points given up.
Defense definitely stepped up after that Tank Dell fumble, like getting the ball. I think what was it? That was the possession where Navy had the kick blocked, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So like, I'm not happy with fumbles. Like no one is, but I'm also aware that it's football and sometimes it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And something else, you kind of mentioned the luck there. I think the fact that this team has had eight fumbles of any kind this season, has lost seven of them, that's extraordinarily unlucky. Like that should be more, that should be closer to a 50% proposition. And obviously I hope not to see this team put the ball on the ground 9 or 10 times in the next five games, but I would bet if they do, that's not going to be 9 or 10 times that ball is going away from the Cougars. I mean, just look at the other side of the ball. The Cougars defense have forced 9 fumbles and only got 3 back. I feel like those two should even out. I mean, I know they don't always do. Yep. I mean, but I feel like that should at least even out some, and certainly would be the Cougars' benefit to do so. I think my only other big offensive takeaway, you know, Tank Dell got his. Tank Dell was really good. I mean, ho-hum, 2 touchdowns in the first 2 possessions. But
yeah,
I thought it was really good. And I think what should be really encouraging in the long term is that once again in this game, just kind of like you did against Memphis, you had veteran guys like Keshawn Carter and also, you know, a newcomer like Sam Brown be difference makers in the pass game, especially with Sam Brown in the red zone. Keshawn Carter made an absurd first half catch worth going and seeing the highlight. If didn't watch this one live, or even if you watch this one live and want to see it, that was a really freaking good catch. But I think if you want something to be encouraged for in the long term, I think it's that you have non-Tank Dell guys, because you may face a better defense or a defense that has a better ability to challenge the Cougars athletically this year, where they're just going to do everything they can to take away Tank Dell. And I think it's great that you now have a couple of guys in Keshawn Carter and Sam Brown who are clearly on a high point confidence-wise, and the staff seems, in Clayton Tune and all parties seem to be figuring out how to get those guys involved in the offense. And, you know, if ever you get back, you know, Joseph Manjack IV and Matthew Golden, you know, I think you're really cooking with gas with this offense, with guys other than Tank Dell maybe feeling some confidence in the pass game.
Absolutely. It's hard to say anything bad about our receiving core right now, especially as plagued by injuries as they are. And, you know, the last couple of years, Holgorsen hasn't been very friendly to our wide receiver
room. It's not.
He has not been happy with them at all. I mean, he flat out said one year, like, I'm looking for transfers in the transfer portal. And you're just like, man, what's happening in that room? But this year he comes out, he says, I'm happy with the receivers. In the first couple of games, you're like, all right, we got Tank Dell. We got some other dudes in there that are okay. But it's showing the depth of the recruiting, really, that Holgorsen has been doing as well. So it's pretty exciting, like you said, to see that receiving room really starting to break out.
So I think that's all I got for the offense. We're going to talk about the Cougar defense a little bit.
Can I say one more takeaway on the offense?
Yeah, of course, man. So, as many takeaways as you would like.
So, you know, we talked about how we want to see this offense a little bit different, and Holgorsen doesn't want the 50-50, or he doesn't want it to be like it was in 08, 09, right, when he was 2011, when he was here just running up scores on people. But, you know, this game, we ran the ball more than we passed, which is kind of expected when you win by 18, but the offense looked different. The passing looked different. And, you know, this whole week we were talking about tempo, tempo, tempo. This week showed me you don't need tempo if you have a dynamic offense. Your offense can be dynamic. It can be firing on cylinders. It can also be quick without tempo. You know what I mean? So I think that was very encouraging from a fan point of view that our offense didn't look like it had taken a step back. It looked like it was clicking on all cylinders, but we didn't have to go tempo the whole time and wear out the defense. And I thought that was a really big thing that I took away from the game, considering how much we were all asking, is there going to be more tempo this week? Is there going to be more tempo? And it just showed you don't need tempo, but you can still have a dynamic offense. And I thought that was really interesting watching this game.
Yeah, I think the ideal is being able to do, and I'm glad you mentioned that actually, because I actually had this in my notes, but I hadn't mentioned it. If you can get almost a 50-50 possession split against Navy with how deliberate Navy is, that's basically like dominating time of possession. Like Navy just holds the ball so much. But I think the ideal of the offense is to be able to do kind of what we saw on Saturday, to be able to possess the ball effectively, to have these kind of momentum shifting, or, you know, killing for your opponent 5-6 minute drives where you really do a good job possessing the ball, be able to do that kind of stuff, be able to do a good 2 minute drill, to be able to really be an offense for, sounds good, be an offense for all seasons, so to speak. I think that's what made that 2015 U of H offense, Herman's first year here, so good, was that offense could go 2 minute drill. That offense with Greg Ward could also grind clock and run the ball really well. There wasn't anything when everyone was healthy and everyone was clicking that they couldn't do. And I think we saw maybe a glimpse of what this offense could do. And like you said, win without the tempo, that I think we all left that Memphis game thinking that was okay. That's the recipe for this team winning, is that we're just gonna have to run tempo, tempo, tempo. And it's like, that might not be the case. And that might not be the worst thing. It would be good if this offense could be more effective in the 2 minute drill and be more willing to let Clayton Tune cook with the 2 minute drill. Cause I think he could be quite good in those situations. He's proven previously this year, but yeah, no, I think really the most encouraging offensive performance we've had this season, and by a pretty wide margin. I don't think that's a really hot take in either of our parts. But going to the defense, you know, I thought going against the unique look that Navy's going to show you with that flex bone offense, this looked like a prepared team. And yes, this team had an extra week to prepare for Navy, but I don't know. Did you think it was a certainty we were going to go into this game and just look really prepared for this offense? I mean, you might not, if you don't have the right guys and the right coaches coaching them, you might not be able to not be tortured by this Navy offense if you had an entire season to prepare for it. And I'm, you know, we've seen plenty of Cougar teams that had an off week not really look like they were prepared. Again, I think I said it when I was previewing this game. In a lot of ways, I thought U of H matched up well on paper, but we also saw in that week 3 game against Kansas, we saw U of H play an opponent that forces you to play assignment football and just do a really lousy job at it. And I'm not saying Navy and Kansas are super similar offenses, but I think at the most base level, they do a lot of the same stuff. They challenge your defenders in a lot of the same ways. And with a few exceptions, I thought the guys looked really prepared and really disciplined, and you didn't see a lot of freelance. You didn't see 100% perfect play, but I think that's an unrealistic expectation. I thought if you had your expectations in the right place, I thought the Cougar defense knocked out of park. I thought they did a really good job on this opponent.
Yeah, I mean, you can give a team start their season out against Navy and sometimes struggle. So giving an extra week, it's a completely different defense that you have to run. It's hat on hat. All 11 versus all 11 rather than 11 on 10, right? Because you got the quarterback back there. Nobody's allowed to touch him. But you got to play 11 on 11 assignment football, and that's tough to get a 19-year-old kid to, you know, go, all right, I know what I want here, and I have to go with my guy, even if every single time they don't run it at me, I need to know that there's one time that they could. And really the only flaw that I saw in our defensive performance was on that touchdown drive, that very first one after the fumble, when we bit on the play action, right? They beat us deep. And then the next play, what did they do? They ran it right up the gut, and we got scared of that pass, ran it up the gut, down for the touchdown, basically, right? So they go, they beat us on the one drive, and then we came right back and said, okay, hold on. Helmet on helmet, man to man, no one gets by me, no matter what. And the other thing that I noticed that is something that we struggled with all season, I know me and you have had more than one conversation about this, was the tackling.
I was gonna say, yep.
It was the tackling. I mean, when you go against Navy, you have to tackle. And you have to tackle well. Because one missed tackle, because it's 11 on 11, one missed tackle and they're breaking it for 40. We just didn't see that this week. And so it just to see players wrap up, some of the best plays I saw were made by our DBs, right? They're getting blocked, and they're just shedding the wide receiver, and they're just making a play on the quarterback. And it was just really nice to see, considering all season we haven't done that.
And I think it was kind of a unpleasant surprise. Yeah, I know you graduated a couple of your cornerbacks, but it felt like guys that we saw last year be sure tacklers. And I'm not going to single guys out, but it felt like guys we saw a fair amount of playing for last year's defense were struggling tackling in a way that maybe we didn't expect. And yeah, you didn't see that at all on Saturday. There's a sequence that was really impressive. I think really Navy's last gasp in this one. I think they were down 3 scores by that point. So you have a second... it's a third and short play. Taba Moniki, one of your safeties, not one of your starters, I think notable for how many different guys have had to play because of the injuries in the secondary. Taba Moniki plays it perfectly on the edge. And somewhere, that's where I thought you were actually going to go, is just this team really, really, when asked to set the edge, when asked to deal with an opponent in space outside the tackle box, it's really... It's been a struggle. I think you saw Kansas just run wild on you. You know, Kansas wasn't really doing it between the tackles. Kansas, was occasionally doing it between the tackles, but was mainly getting U of H in space and just guys having no idea where they should be and what they should do. And you saw the opposite of that. So you had that sequence. Waniki gets them for either, I think, a short loss or no gain. And then Navy tries up the middle and U of H blows it up, doesn't even get back to the line of scrimmage. And basically, the game was over by that point, but I think any stray doubt you had in your head, like that was it. And to see this defense, basically for the entirety of the game being, meaningful, potentially close game, the non-garbage time portions of this game, UH defense allowed 7 points. And I think Navy's offense was certainly the second best of two out of Navy's offense and defense. But I think if someone had told me, I expect the Cougar defense to, be responsible for 7 points for the meaningful portions of this game, I think that would have been a bit optimistic. And I think the biggest reason why individually, and I'm remiss we're not talking about him sooner, Donovan Mutant, just an absolute dude. Just this game for
just
me was
an incredible game.
Incredible. I think a reminder, I think there are, good guys behind Mutant, but I don't think we have a Donovan Mutant on the roster or a future Donovan Mutant on the roster. Besides that guy, he really is an absolute dude. He really is the kind of middle linebacker, the kind of quarterback of the defense you have to be an effective defense against the Navy flexbone.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, 13 tackles, 5 solo. That's huge, especially
good day at the
when
office,
you're playing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a really important game. That's if he doesn't have that game, who knows what happens? I mean, that's half his tackles this year, was he's got 27 solo tackles and he had five. So what's that? 20% of them?
Yeah, just you know, 20%.
That's a heck of a game right there. And, you know, without him, what does this game look like without him? You know what I mean?
It's a bit more stressful, that's for sure. Yeah, Donovan Mutant's not playing offense, but yeah, no, I think it's not nearly the defensive effort it ends up being. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it, he had 13 tackles. Next highest guy is at half of that with 7. I mean, that's having yourself a game right there. 13 total, 5 solo. That's, you take that all day from any linebacker that you ever have on your team. So
yeah, I can't say
much on that. Just the way he was crashing down, the way he, like you said, was keeping guys from bouncing out, you know, super wide and making those big plays. It was huge by him, and he really was kind of the MVP of the defense this game.
Yeah, as Navy's had some offensive success. I mean, a decent amount of it also was in garbage time against SMU, but you saw them move the ball at times pretty well against SMU, not do a good enough job defensively to keep the Ponies from running along comfortably, and then the week before that, beating Tulsa very handily. I think a lot of that was predicated on the fullback run, that they had a lot of good stuff happen with their fullback, primarily Dava Fofana. And he had some plays, he had some runs, but really did not take over this game, did not positively impact this game. The way I think if Navy was going to potentially get the upset here, get the win, it was going to have to be that fullback run being a backbreaker for U of H. And I think if you want to give any individual Cougar player credit for the fullback dive, not really being able to, you know, do what it needed to do for Navy to win this game, I think you got to talk about, you know, Donovan Mutant first and foremost. Just fantastic game. And I think kind of like we talked about the offensive line having this big game and really controlling that line of scrimmage and thus really winning that matchup. I think the same way you got to talk about the Cougar defensive line, got Navy off schedule enough, yep. 8 tackles for loss, a lot of that coming from your defensive line, guys like Jadozie Nwankwo, Jamari Caldwell in the interior, really winning those matchups with the Navy interior line. It wasn't the kind of Sac Avenue defense. Yeah, I think we expected, I mean, I guess not against Navy. You're just, you know, not going to get right, a lot of sack opportunities there, but you kind of, you know, expected going to the year, a lot of flash guys like Derek Parrish and DeAnthony Jones really making quarterback lives miserable. And they've gotten pressure at times this year, but I don't think this defensive front has exactly lived up to the hype in the previous 6 games. But I think we saw in this one how good this group can be because they dealt with such a different offense and just emphatically won the line of scrimmage. I thought, you know, you really, really had to win that one, had to not let Navy control the line to get the space between the tackles and that fullback dive. And, you know, I know I gave Donovan Mutant a lot of credit there, but you don't keep Navy off schedule as much as you do and not doing what they need to do for meaningful game action without what you got from the defensive line. I thought really encouraging performance from a group that I think we're all really positive on, but needed to see some stuff from down the stretch this year.
I mean, the D-line, while they may not be getting the tackles and the stats in this kind of game, what they do is they keep it, the Navy O-line from going to the next level, right? They keep them from getting to Mutant so Mutant can make the play. Like you said, it's not going to be that flashy Sac Avenue kind where they're just absolutely just pinning their ears back going after somebody. But sometimes, especially when you play a team like Navy, you just got to, I need you to hold those linemen up just a little bit longer so Mutant can get out to the corner, can get out to the edge and make a play. And yeah, like you said, they did that absolutely perfectly. And you can't ask for much more from them either. I do have a question for you though. If I told you going into this game, right, it's Friday night and we're hanging out and I say, Fofana's going to have less yards than Stacey Sneed. Would you believe me?
You know, I mean, I guess with Tazon Henry out, Stacey Sneed's been getting a lot more carries, but still, no, that would have been a no. If I'm answering this honestly, yeah. I would not have believed that.
Sneed puts up 100, Fofana puts up 89. I mean,
same carries, I believe they had 20 carries each. Am I looking at home? Yep. Oh, shit, they did. They did,
yeah. So, I mean, what can you say about the front 7? For U of H this week. I mean, the stats say it all, right? We held a triple option team to 201 total rushing yards, and we had 180 ourselves. Like, it's hard to say anything negative about the performance that the defense put up. Like you said, 7 points in non-garbage time. I'll take that all day, every day, twice on Sunday. Like, it's just one of those performances that you can't, because the triple options, you see people struggle with it all the time, and you give up 14 on accident, right? They get you to bite on a play action, and they torch you for 65 after after their first down on a drive, and then, you know, you get it back, you go down, you score, and then they wear you down, and they have one of those 9-minute long drives that ends in a touchdown, and you know, they take the ball at 14 minutes. You look down and there's 4 minutes left to go in the quarter and you're going, crap. And they just didn't really do that to us this week. And so you can't say anything bad about the defense when they do that. They had two bad plays, I would say, in my estimation, on that one touchdown drive that they had early. So really impressed with what the defense did this week.
Yeah, good effort. I mean, even if you want to take the tack of, you know, okay, well, I don't think Navy's offense is that good. Fine. You held them to 7 points. That's really about as good as you can expect any defense to do. I think that's all I have on the defense, Bobby. Are you good with this? You good to move on from that one?
Yeah, I don't know what else we can say besides they were incredible.
Really good. Hopefully a sign of things to come for Doug Belk's unit, then getting some confidence back and looking like the group that maybe we expect them to at the start of the year. I guess my last thought here, I want to take a little trip down memory lane with this opponent for a sec before we completely ended the topic. But would you say this? I don't know. You know, it's an open question. You know, is this game plus the way the Memphis game ended a turning point for 2022? Is this, you know, the Cougars maybe becoming a conference contender after getting kind of, I think, rightfully buried as one because of some of the performances the past several weeks? I don't think it's an answered question yet, but I think what I said last episode, I think it was one of my last thoughts on Navy, was this is the last week. I guess this past week was the last week you could talk yourself into, okay, this might be where U of H starts to turn around. Cause you know, you go out there and lose to Navy, you know, you're 3-4, and even winning out, you're an 8-4 team that probably isn't even in the picture for the conference championship game. Quite frankly, if you lose to Navy, I think saying that you're going to win out is not really a very believable scenario. And I don't think we're at the place now with 5 games left where we could say, oh yeah, this is the turning point. I mean, we could just look back on this and be like, yeah, well, glad we beat Memphis. Really glad to have that turd be the last time Memphis sees U of H in football. And, you know, we beat a bad Navy team. Maybe that's how we look back on it. But I still think you can talk yourself into this being kind of a, you know, real turning point for the season, the way the team's played, I think, this week, and how they finished against Memphis, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you go from heads down everywhere you go. Anyone you talk to is saying we need to get rid of Holgorsen and all this kind of stuff. And now we finish this week and we go, that's one hell of a performance we just put up there. Can't believe we beat Memphis and we just came out here and we absolutely dominated a Navy team that, while not very good, can still just shock anybody at any time just because of the way that offense is. You're not surprised if U of H comes out and they get the ball run down their throat by Navy this week, and they didn't. And then you're not surprised if they come out flat-footed in their offense like they have the entire season to start the game, except for, what was it, Kansas?
Yeah, Kansas.
But they come out, they play 4 quarters, something we haven't done all year. Kind of hard to argue that the last 5 quarters of football from Houston football, from Cougar football, isn't exactly what we expected at game one. The last 5 quarters are what we expected to happen against UTSA, what we expected to happen versus Kansas. And while it didn't, this is what we expected. This is what we thought it would look like. And if it takes 6 games, that's not ideal. But if we're where we're at, and obviously we'll talk about this later, but Some cards kind of fell our way this week in results. And so we're still in this thing for the conference championship. And I don't know if I necessarily agree that we're in contention for a New Year's Eve Six Bowl, an NY Six Bowl. Like a lot of people are saying, if we win conference, we may go to. It is encouraging to see what this team's done over the last 5 quarters of football.
No doubt. A quick trip down memory lane, since U of H and Navy have started playing as conference mates in 2015, I had to like double check myself on this, Bobby. I can't believe how, okay, if you've looked this up, just let me know. How many times do you think U of H has lost to Navy since 2015?
Three?
They played every year since 2015. So is that your final answer, three?
Yeah.
You're very close. It's two. And I was kind of thinking to myself, wow, it feels like we lost more than two times in this series, which I guess maybe is because of the 2016 loss where we were number five in the country. It was in the rain in Annapolis in this game where we just could not stop Navy and Will Worth. And I just remember I was actually it's funny mentioning the third co-host of the Formula One show we did. I was at the old house of our dear friend Bill watching that one, and just I remember seeing what are they called the Brigade of Midshipmen rushing the field. I think it was like I can't remember, it was one of our receivers just kind of looking helplessly as like all these just ecstatic midshipmen were running past him. So I guess maybe it's because that one of those two losses had the force of like 15. Yeah, I know we had some other.
Where I was going to say, and he couldn't treat him like the Alabama player did that Tennessee girl. No. Because, you know, they're soldiers and he would probably lose. But anyways, continue. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was that one in the 2019, which wasn't really a teeth kicker, the season finale loss in 2019 at home, the end of Holgorsen's first year here. For me, though, one of my most memorable non-postseason games of the last like decade or so was that 2015 season finale. I was lucky enough to be there for that in person. I was still living in Houston at the time. And, you know, there are a lot of games in that season that kind of suck all the oxygen. Rightfully so. You had the insane comeback against Memphis. You had the conference championship against Temple. You had a lot of really memorable moments. And I'm not saying that Navy game gets overlooked per se, but when you have a New Year's Six Bowl win and a conference championship win and something as insane as the Memphis win, I don't know, maybe the regular season finale, but if U of H doesn't win that game that day, we're not even in the conference championship against Temple. As great as that season had gone, if we had lost to UConn and then dropped it on the final game of the regular season against Navy, none of the really memorable stuff that happened that season would have had, or very little of it would have ended up happening. You don't go to the conference championship game. Navy, if they win that one, plays Temple in the conference championship game. You don't go to the New Year's Six Bowl. And yeah, I don't know, man, maybe Tom Herman doesn't get his dream job when it's all said and done. That's the one domino there. But I just remember being at that game and kind of, you know, I'd have gone up to Connecticut and watched us look very not good against a pretty meh UConn team. And just feeling from the first snap that this was different, even though Navy, I think, ran the ball down the field and scored pretty quickly, U of H responded. And it looked like a focused team. It looked like a team that really, you know, realized that this game was all or nothing. It was one of the most complete regular season performances I've ever seen. That was pretty freaking cool. But yeah, I don't know, Bobby. I'm not sorry to not have this game in the schedule every year and not just hold my breath that every good defensive lineman we have isn't about to get their knee popped with a helmet on a Navy cut block.
Yeah,
I'm not going to miss. Yeah. I'm not going to say there's never going to be another defensive lineman injury in a U of H conference game again, but that's one aspect I didn't really consider before. And that was something I mentioned, I feel, to all the people that Dustin and I know that cover schools that are going to the AAC. Like, oh, what do you know about the league? It's just like, you're going to spend the entire Navy week just praying to whatever deity you believe in that your good defensive end or defensive tackle isn't going to be out the next 3 weeks after that one.
You know, I never thought about that, but I actually kind of like the Navy week. It's different. It's unique. But you're absolutely correct. It's also terrifying. It's terrifying because not for the injury's sake, but you just never know how your team's going to come out against Navy. Your team could come out like we did this week and just absolutely stuff it. Or you can come out in that game and just watch them just run the ball down your throat and you're just helpless. And you're just going, please, just, I would do anything for a stop right now.
How are they beating us? They're running the same. I know they're not running the same, feels like they're running the same four plays. How do they keep getting first downs? How have they had the ball for the last 13 minutes of game action?
Yes. There's nothing worse than when you play Navy and there's a quarter break in the middle of their drive, and you're just like, they've had it for like half of one quarter and half of another.
It feels like they've had it since yesterday.
And you're just
I don't know.
And then they put up that stupid little ticker at the top, and always it's like been an this interesting drive, opponent. Like so,
from that sense, I guess
48
sorry
yards.
To see it come off the schedule,
like,
but in the sense of not wanting to see our defensive linemen, and that was I don't know if you remember that was the game that Ed Oliver ended up getting hurt in the 2018, and just generating that fun bit of second half of the season drama too. I don't know if you remember that little nugget.
Say it again.
Ed Oliver. Remember when he Ed Oliver getting hurt like real late, like after maybe he could have conceivably got out of the game against Navy, and just that maybe Ed Oliver's injury is still coloring how I feel about playing or not playing Navy football. But yeah, interesting week, like you say, a very interesting offense, and I'm glad that I can go back to kind of enjoying it in the abstract and not being like, ooh, I'm gonna really hate seeing us play that come October. I'm not gonna maybe miss that aspect of it. So
Let me ask you this before we go too crazy. If we scheduled some kind of game with them, how would you feel about that in the future? A series, right? Like,
yeah.
Let's say they come to Houston twice and we go out there once.
You know, I'm kind of two minds about it. I mean, I would be okay. I think I'd be okay with it. I think I would probably make some jokes about hoping our defensive linemen, our knees are feeling especially healthy then.
Right.
But no, I mean, I get it. And I get the appeal of playing a service academy. I get why a fan base would think that's cool. And I would love to have a mulligan on the fact that I kept procrastinating and be like, yeah, I'll go see Annapolis eventually. And then realize this year, buddy, you're not flying 2,500 miles or whatever it is from me to Annapolis to, go see that game. So if nothing else, I'd appreciate the mulligan to actually go finally see Annapolis and the Brigade of Midshipmen, and just every Cougar fan, I feel like, to a person. I don't think I've ever encountered anyone in person or otherwise who was like, Navy experience, didn't like it, didn't think it lived up to the aura. Every person, you know, including I would say our not very, very sentimental good friend and regular co-host of the show, just repeating those same lines. He was like, oh yeah, it was like him coming back. Like Dustin was physically out there at the 2016 just gut punch of a loss, and just have him be very like circumspect, like, yeah, no, the Brigade Midshipman part was pretty cool though. Like I talk about how cool that was in this game where it was just the most agonizing outcome. I was like, wow, that must have been pretty cool. So I think I'd be okay with it. All of my comments about Navy's frustrating offense and what they do to your defensive lineman, I guess, included.
Yeah, for me, I would love to see it. Just Navy's always like a good enough team where it's not like you lose to them and it's this terrible heartbreaker, but you beat them and everyone's like, oh, okay, you're going to be Navy. You know, nobody ever thinks that Navy's this like god-awful team who, you know, shouldn't be in FBS. I would rather see them over like an FCS school. I know you have the FCS to kind of do that kind of stuff, but you know, I'd really like to see them stay on the schedule, especially more than any really other AAC brethren.
Yeah, and if I had to handicap it, I would bet. I don't know if anyone's gonna get on the schedule anytime in the immediate future, but I would bet.
Yeah,
I would bet the Mids are that team. So before we go tonight, I want to save myself and my co-host here a little bit of time. We're not going to talk about the week 8 slate. There were some good games there. We're almost an hour into the show. It's past 11 p.m. Bobby's time. I have a flight in about 8 hours. Not like I have to go to sleep in it. I have a flight and literally like it's taking off from the runway in 8 hours. Go to Texas to see my significant other's family and to see you at least briefly as well, Bobby. So I will get into the forward reviews. You guys submitted them, and I will certainly not leave tonight without talking about them. And let's start here. Some of you joined in, letting yourselves feel some optimism, joined us here, kind of felt the same vibes as on this show. Rudy had finally putting it together, though. We'll add, Rudy, you did tack on a maybe in parentheses at the end. David C. had that's much better, Dana. Phil had finally football is enjoyable. Renee had winning out looks possible. Pump the brakes, Renee. Pump the brakes a little bit. Jacob A. had, we finally won comfortably. And Tom had, maybe things settling down. Maybe so, Tom. At least a couple of y'all theorized that the bye week helped a little bit. Our good friend Sean had need more bye weeks. Julie, who may have used a hyphen to fudge the forward limit, but will allow it here, had bye week for the win with bye week hyphenated. Offense was also as exciting for y'all as it was for us, at least it seems here. J-Cat had career day for Tune. Johnny had offenses finally cooking, and Chris E. had non-Dell receiver success, something we talked about a bit here. Another guy we talked about a bit here, Samuel Brown, Cougar touchdown from UH Cougar 308. Hit the topic we just got done talking about. Another couple of y'all weren't too sad to see this be the last conference game with Navy. Shane had no more triple option. And Renee had a goodbye triple option. And of course, I'm going to end my forward reviews on a nautical pun. Roland had "You Sank My Battleship."
Classic. Just an absolute classic with the "You Sank My Battleship."
All right, Bobby, it's been an absolute blast to have you here on to give me somebody to talk Cougar football, to not have me be yelling into the void alone here, to just hack and cough and try to summarize my thoughts here alone in a room. But really, always great talking Cougars with you generally, but really happy to have you on tonight. Hopefully, if not the last time, bud.
Yeah, yeah. Anything you need, you know, you can shoot me a text, give me a call, and I will I'll be here to support the pod.
I don't know if you're seeing the video here, but I'm doing like the manager tapping yeah. my arm.
I'll come in and I'll be the worst closer of all time. But I'm like Wild Thing from Major League. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's really bad.
I think you're giving yourself too little credit. So before I go here, real quick, at the end here, I'm not going to do as good of a job with this as Dustin. But of course, you can get contact with the show at shpawdcast@gmail.com. Of course, like I mentioned at the top, please check out our friends at the 1012 Network. Please go to homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code HOMEAND12 to get you some sweet, sweet, sweet vintage collegiate apparel. We are, of course, bad social media addicts on here. You can follow us on Twitter, the social media app that we generally use. Sorry, Facebook and Instagram, at SHPAWcast. If you're listening, you probably know it this far, but I don't know if you're newer to Twitter and every episode someone's first episode, please follow us there as well. A good centralized place to see the episodes as well. We're everywhere you get podcasts. Please, please, please leave us a 5-star review. I know every podcast you listen to says that, but it does legitimately help us, and it's free and it's easy, and it really does give a little bit to our show. So do that if you can, if you want to do a little bit more, if you think I like this so much, I'd like to put a little bit of American money behind it. You could also go to patreon.com/shpodcast, SHPAWD cast, make a recurring donation there, or go to our website, shpodcast.com. You have a way to donate a one-time thing via PayPal if that's something you'd prefer to do. We'd really appreciate it either way, giving a little bit of money towards a labor of love that Dustin and I do here on a regular basis. So that'll wrap it up for this week, talking Cougar football and everything that was. Bobby, take us out. As always,
go Cougs!
Go Cougs!
Vamos los Cougs!
Go Cougs!
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
We ain't invited to the party. We had to kick the door in. No cap. No cap.